Good morning. Well, it is really wonderful, and I'm sure you feel the same, to be among brothers and sisters this morning. I'm sure that we won't know the magnitude of how great it is for a long time. I'm guessing heaven, and when we get to hug on one another and look at in the face of God and look at one another and look in the face of God and remember the dearness that we all hold and the fondness we hold one another in, that I guess then we'll know how incredible these moments are. And I know that we don't always feel that way. We're here. We're in the flesh. We're prone to get irritated and uncomfortable and frustrated and disappointed. But these are great moments. And it's great to be together with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And make no mistake about that. This is a great place. And you're all wonderful brothers and sisters. Let's pray together. Father, for these times, thank you. Thanks that you, in your incredible wisdom, your great love for us, provided for us a family here. Thanks that you are our Father and you provide every good thing for us. Salvation, love, your goodness, and your mercy. Father, your understanding of us beyond what we really understand, how we understand ourselves, you are so good. But for this family here today, God, thanks so much. Thanks for brothers and sisters who are good to one another, who love each other, who struggle through life together. And pretty much like one another, all the same. It's good, Lord, what you're doing in us. And I pray that you would turn our hearts to you today, as they already have been in wonderful worship. They so deserve. Thanks for preparing Sean for this moment. And Lord, I pray that as we go on into your word, that you would just keep drawing us to you. You're good, Lord, and we believe in what you're doing and what you're going to do. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. The last few times that I've been up here, we've been talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like, and we would discuss different characteristics. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And in his joy, he went and sold everything he had and bought that field. So he could have the treasure, not the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found the one of great value, he went and sold everything and he bought that pearl. Jesus is making an incredible point to us here. He's saying that there is a man. And I know I'm stating the obvious here. There's a man who was walking through a field and he found a treasure. Maybe it was someone's stashed stock certificates, CD records. I don't know. The deed to lots of property. Maybe it was just gold. It's really become very valuable here in the last few years. But it was a treasure, and the treasure was so stunning that he sold everything he had. He sold it all. Everything he had. I mean, that's what Jesus, he sold everything he had. He wasn't holding back. And he bought that field. The merchant looking for pearls, he found this one pearl of great value, and he sold everything. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the reign of Jesus, of God in your life. The reign that you are under. That the value of that is so incredible. To have it, we would sell everything. We would sell everything we have. So he's making this point that it's so precious. In case I haven't said this yet. He would sell everything. The question comes up, how are you doing with that, Jamie? the question I ask myself very often, and I'm sure you do too, how are you doing with that? The selling, is it that valuable? What about your children? Here's the tell of my life, truly. Hang out with Kendall for a while. She will, if in discussions, you will find out what's important to me. There's no way it's hidden from your children. And so the question is, if Jesus came and hung out with our children, what would he determine was valuable to us? How's that selling out going? Well, over the last few sermons, as I've said, we've discussed different things about the kingdom, the language of the kingdom, encouragement, the role of the kingdom, 1 Corinthians 5, that we are ambassadors for Christ, and the attitude of the kingdom, this desire to support and be a positive influence in one another's lives. But today I want to look at a different call, not so much the gifts that come to us from how we look toward one another, but our role, the call for us, and how we honor God. I think the way that I would say it is the loyalty, our loyalty toward the kingdom or toward our great King, Jehovah. Listen to this song as we go into this part. Just I would say it like this, I guess. Just let these words wash over you. This song is powerful. It's called the Revelation Song. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Holy, holy is he. I sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. There are a lot of different artists right now singing this song. It's a really, really powerful song, and I encourage you to Google it. Look it up on YouTube if you don't know it. The second verse, and she's just, is just gushing with real passion for Jesus. The second verse says, clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessings, honor, strength, and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. And back to the chorus. And the last verse says, filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath, and living water. Such a marvelous mystery. And I know it's tough to capture the rhythm of a song as you're quoting the lyrics, but if you know the song, you get it very well. And if you don't, be inspired or encouraged to go look it up today. You're going to enjoy the song. The point being made here is we are not talking about a God who is like us. Our King is not like us. We were made in his image for sure. We have that great, magnificent quality about us. That quality that deserves respect and honor just because of existing, because he made us in his image. And that is amazing. But he's not like us. He's nothing like us. He's amazing. And all the wonderful lyrics that we've sung here today don't compare to the goodness of God. And what God has is millions of fans. And he's deserving of millions of fans. But what he really desires is people who truly love him, who are sold out to him, who are in relationship with him, sons and daughters walking with him. Fandom means nothing. He wants relationship. But wow, is he deserving of fandom and relationship. Did you see the sunrise this morning? When this song is sung and it's rumbling through wherever you are when you hear it, and it says filled with wonder, awestruck wonder. Have you had those moments in your life when God just stunned you? There's just something that he did over and over again that you just moved by. He is truly worthy of everything we have, especially for us to be in awe of. So, he is worthy of our loyalty. What does he mean by that? Or what would we mean by that? The first scripture I want to share with you this morning is the scripture reading this morning. They are the same. Matthew 22. In thinking about the loyalty that we would share with God or be convicted about sharing with God, I would go right here. Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Here's a little bit fuller reading, and starting in verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength," or with all your mind. "And the second one, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two things." When Jesus is saying this, he's saying something deeper than what he's really saying. We don't really do this great justice when we teach it often by going with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and we divide these things up. My heart, you know, the place that I love deeply, and my soul, my very being, and then my mind, my thinking place. You know, I got to think my love for Jesus. I got to feel my love for Jesus. I got to have this real deep emotional thing for Jesus in my soul. And then we do great lessons on this, and I'm guilty of this for sure. Not the great part, but the lessons. On these three things, and that's not really what it meant in the Hebrew language. It's something actually like this. The three places actually meant something differently than what we use them for. The heart was the place where decisions were made, where emotions were felt, where thinking was done, where secrets were hidden, where desires came from. You could decide with your heart and feel with your heart and think with your heart. All of that in there, even desire with your heart. The soul, on the other hand, the soul was a place where decisions were made, where emotions were felt, where thinking was done, where secrets were hidden, where desires came from. You could decide with your soul. You could feel with your soul. You could think with your soul. You could hide things in your soul, and you could desire with your soul. And your mind, you could, it's where your emotions were felt, your decisions were made, where thinking was done, where secrets, you picking up on a pattern here? Where secrets were hidden, where desires came from. You could decide with your soul. You could feel with your, or with your mind. You could feel with your mind. You could hide things, and you could just, they're the same thing. He wasn't actually meaning with all your heart, you got to love him. With all your mind, you got to think him. With all your soul, you got to feel him. He was saying, you got to give it all to him. With everything you are, every bit of you, head to toe, side to side, all in, maybe is how we say it, or I'm sold out. Maybe that's another way we would say it. He wasn't saying, give this to him, give this to them, him, give this to him. He was saying, give you to him, every bit of you, give it all up to God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with everything is what I'm getting at. Give it all up to him. It's just how I said it. Don't get so caught up on every little word like that. You get the point. And so if he's saying it like this, the point's well made, I think. The challenge to love my God with all of me. And as I think about my call to be loyal to God, I don't know. Loyalty is such a big word. And I've got such an important life. Being loyal to something, I mean, the sold out part, I'm good on his loyalty to me. You understand that? I'm into that. And I really want God being loyal to me. I don't want him taking his eye off me. I don't want to wonder if he's listening to me. I don't want to ever wonder if his hand of guidance or protection is on me, if his spirit is in me, if his love is showering over me. I don't want to think of a moment. I'm like David when he's remembering Saul and his situation, and David's in his great sin saying, please don't take your spirit from me. I don't want to go a moment without God's spirit. I don't want to live that life. But my loyalty to him, that's the difficult part. Because I like me too. I mean, I like him with me and I like me with me. There are a lot of things I like to do. There are a lot of ways that I like to live. And it doesn't take much reflecting back to the introduction here about the kingdom of heaven is like. And remember that you can test my life by hanging out with my daughter for a while. And I can test yours by hanging out with your kids for a while. Just hang out with me. You know what I'm about. You know what my life is about. And God is calling us to loyalty, the kind of loyalty that he gave to us. This sold out, all in idea. He didn't just give us that edict. He didn't from on high decide that, Jamie, you need to be sold out to me because I am Jehovah God and I deserve it. He did it first. He practices what he preaches. He lives what he's calling us to live. Jesus came and gave it all. He sold it all. It's as if he's telling the story that he lived, as if the pearl of great price or the treasure hidden in a field, it was reversed from heaven. And he looked and saw us, and he said, Jason Foster, man, you're a treasure hidden in a field. Steve Miller, you're a treasure. Rich, Dara, your treasure's hidden in a field. I'll sell all I have. And did he not sell all he had? And he came and bought the field. You're the pearl of great price, Joanne. And he found the one of great value, and he sold all he had. He sold it all, and he came and bought us. And so when he calls us to loyalty in the kingdom of heaven, when he calls us to look at this great king and pledge allegiance back that's been pledged to us, it's tough, but it's such a worthy call. And in his goodness and his grace, we are able to do it. And it's the best place to be. Listen to this. As I would think and I would wonder what it means to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. What would that really look like? And I would just jump back, first of all, to God speaking to Moses on the mountain. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. If you go ahead and click that, Jacob. He simply says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. And I just want to throw out there, we don't always bow down physically to our gods. The deal about a God, what he's really talking about here is what your life is pledged to, dedicated to, or what is just taking up your time. Whatever you spend your precious time on is what you value the most, and that's what your God, who your God really is. And for some of us, that may be work. Some of us, it may be church. No, I'm not knocking the church. This is a wonderful place. It's got to stay in the right place. Some of us, it may be golf. It may be hunting. It may be fishing. It may be our children. It may be our spouse. and maybe shopping. Oh, save me from shopping. You never know. I mean, you know, but people don't. What is your God? What is it that you wrestle with? And maybe you wrestle with nothing. There's some good folks here. We're not good, but good. I know a lot of you. You really love them. And you want them. And you don't have other gods. Some of us wrestle. You shall have no other gods before me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. All in. I'm all in. Love your neighbor as yourself. If your children, if we're hanging out with your children, you're hanging out with my daughter, you know what my God is. The reason I'm saying that, and I think you know, I'm pretty convicted like you all are as well, that my daughter isn't just someone that's hanging out in my house eating all my food until she turns 18 and then she's gone. She's a heart that God gave us to mold. She's a life, a precious, precious life that he gave us to pass down this incredible, incredible heritage, this wonderful, wonderful call to love and honor God. And always, there's an easy testing there of where my heart really is, because my daughter, my wife, get it a lot more than you do. So, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. How are we going to check this out? How do we follow it up? In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Another place I want to go just to press this a little bit further, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. In Ephesians chapter 5, 1 and 2, the scripture says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So the call here is not just that I'm talking, that I'm loving God, but that when we say we're all in, that we're really all in. It's not just something I say, but it's the life I live. It's what I do. I'm imitating him. The cool thing about kids, you know, is they're growing up and you're watching them. They love to imitate their moms, their dads. It was snowing a couple weeks ago, and I walked over here in the morning, and as soon as Kristen and Kendall ran up and said, Dad, I walked over here in your tracks. And I mean, that's just what they do, right? I remember walking in my dad's tracks, and you remember walking in your dad's tracks. You remember your kids, if you have children, walking in your tracks. That's what they do. They're walking in your tracks. Well, I never thought about that before the sermon. That's a really good one, by the way. Your kids are following you. Thanks, Lord. That's a good one. Now, Matthew chapter 6, 28 through 34. Jacob, if you could pull that one up. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And so where I'm wrestling here, as I feel this call, I hear this call, the kingdom of heaven is like, what's it like? It's a place where the subjects of the kingdom, those who are under the reign of the king, are loyal to the king. Why? Because the king's been loyal to them. He's loyal to them. He's always loyal. And so the right thing would be that we would be loyal as well. And in that loyalty, what we've discussed so far, and I'll remind you so that I can remind myself, in Matthew chapter 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, everything that you are. Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God. That's the first thing. First, I seek first the kingdom. I honor God, and I have no other God before him. And I imitate him. I I'm all in. I seek him first. He's my only God, and I imitate him. It's just that he is. That's loyalty. But he doesn't let us off that easy. I don't mind that, actually, to tell you the truth. It feels good. It feels really good to honor God. I know you know the feeling. And you get in your car and you spend some time with God. You've been struggling a bit, confused a little about what's going on in your life, a little down. I sing a new song to him who sits on. You know the song, some of you, the Revelation. I mean, the song comes on that you love and you're taken away. And you're thinking, I just want you. I can do this with your help. It's the best place I can be is with God. But he won't leave it there. That's the problem with God. He wants to get in my life and mess it all up. And so then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. He just won't leave it there, just between me and him. I got this with your help. I can love you. I can handle this. But then you drop this neighbor thing on me. Do you even know these guys, God? I mean, you know that feeling? Do you know who I'm dealing with? And I know what you're thinking. God, you know Jamie? Do you know what it's like to walk around with this guy, to deal with this guy? To which I say, you know what you're getting into, guys, when you became my friend. He won't leave it alone, will he? And we say things like, well, you can love him. You just don't have to like him. Forgive, but you don't have to forget. We got a lot of cliches that mean do your own thing and pretend you really didn't say it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You don't love yourself, but not like yourself. You do have a problem forgiving and forgetting yourself. You don't love yourself and not like yourself. You do both. And this is a powerful, powerful not suggestion that Jesus makes, but command that he makes. Because it really captures a lot here. Because as he's talking about loving the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, in that same thought, the same context, it's not some other place. He didn't say, let's change subjects now. He says, while we're talking about that, love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, you got up this morning, took a shower, brushed your teeth, combed your hair, found some nice clothes, looked in the mirror. Those don't look too good. Changed because you want to look really good because you love you. And you want people to look at you and say, wow, she's pretty. He's got it going on. We like ourselves. We love ourselves. We do a lot to take care of ourselves. We feed ourselves. We don't just feed ourselves sustenance. We feed ourselves what we like. In Honduras, one day one of the girls said to one of the little boys eating beans and rice we were serving, do you like beans and rice? Not a clue. Not a clue what she do. I like beans and rice. I don't have the option of liking beans and rice. This is what I got. This is what I get to eat. Beans and rice. What do you? Couldn't comprehend the question. Another trip. One of the girls. I said, not making fun of girls. It's just girls care. Ladies tend to get on a different level than guys do. It's relational, most of the time. Sometimes it's a bit abusive, but it's relational for the most. It's relational. They care. And they say, this girl says, so what's your favorite food? Beans and rice? I don't have any favorite. This is what I have. I have beans and rice. we don't have an option here. Do you like so and so? Is there another option? Is this Facebook dislike? God didn't give you that. Do you love? What's his name? What do you mean? I don't understand the question. The problem is I do understand the question very well. I mean, I get the question very well. And the reason I get the question is because I don't live this passage well. Either way, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm all in. Sorry. You can't be all in with God and not be all in with your neighbors. It don't work that way. God, I love you. I'm crazy about you. But Nancy Taylor, you know, she comes in. She's always smiling. And she's always nice. That can't be real. And it don't work with my day because I get stressed out. And those people who are always doing that, they got to be faking and it gets on my nerves. You don't get a click, don't like. You don't get to play that game. But if I'm not all in, I get to play that game. I get to do that. And so the call is not to dream up that I can be loyal to God and not be loyal to you. I don't get to do that. It's not possible. It's not a reality. Huh? Is there... I'm a little Honduran boy eating beans and rice. What's the... I don't understand the question. That's who I should be. And if I truly understood the value of God, the treasure hidden in a field, and I just can't help but believe that that really is meant to be told both ways, that we find a treasure hidden in a field, and it is Jesus Christ. It is the kingdom of God, and that you can flip-flop that thing, and Jesus comes, and he finds the treasure in his people, and he makes us the kingdom of God. And so we should see him as treasure, and we should see one another as treasure, because you are treasure. It cost him everything to buy you. And guess what? It cost him everything to buy me. And if I drive you crazy, you get to love me anyway. And if I make you nuts, you even get to like me. And if you don't, you get to work on you. And you get to hang out with me and work on me a bit too. But you don't get to write me off. And I don't get to write you off. And if you think that is a dream, get involved in ministry. Because in ministry, where you're serving people, you get to spend days with people you don't like very well. Not because you're mean or rude, but you don't click with everyone. That's why we're called family. Because we get to hang out till it's worked out. And we get to hang out till we get... What are you going to do in heaven? God, I just want to stand here with you because they smell funny. It can't be like that. We're family. And guess what? There's a lot of people in the world that don't smell very well. And he wants them to be family too. They act weird. They're different than you. I had to... Just a few days ago, I had to spend a lot of time, and this is not a credit to me. This is part of this sermon. There's a lot of great opportunities we have with intermission and ministries that we get to do there. And there is a certain way that things tend to work. And they're guys that work really hard and they click very well. And once in a while, someone comes along and you know the rest of the story. They don't click. Man, they're like a big wrench stuck in the gear. But they like us and they're drawn to us and they want to be with us. And it seems like everything's all messed up. It's like, oh, this would be so much better. Well, I guess, but if God didn't wait on me, I wouldn't be here either. If he didn't take a chance on being patient with me, I wouldn't be here either. And so here's the call as we wrap up. We just got to shut this down. This is getting fun for me. But here's the thing. The call to loyalty and the kingdom. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all of you. Jump in. Just jump in. He really is that good. And love your neighbor as yourself. Stop tolerating them. Jesus didn't hang on the cross tolerating those who killed him. He loved them and even said they don't even know what they're doing. Forgive them, Lord. Stop tolerating. Stop putting up with. Stop being annoyed by. Those who are annoying you are of great value to God. Those who are driving you crazy are of great value to the one you are called to be loyal to. And you can't have him and not take them. It don't work like that. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for you. Oh, Lord. This isn't one of those fun passages in your word. It is really difficult for us to live out. But it is great value to us to allow you to work it out in us. And I know when you penned it, or when you inspired it, that you knew it wasn't going to be all that fun. Not for a time. But we know on the other side of the work, on the other side of the patience, on the other side of the honoring, in spite of my feelings and my frustration, we know you start building love in people who haven't been able to love well. You start building like in people who don't like very well. And you bring people like Simon the Zealot and Matthew, a tax collector, together in great relationship to spread your word about the kingdom. And I pray you would do it with us. We love you and we praise you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Whatever you desire to do here, we're going to have a moment of invitation. If you are not a child of God, you can come forward and be immersed in him. He would love to have you as his child today. There will be an elder on either side of the auditorium. Or if you need prayer, and we all need prayer, you can come forward. They'll pray with you.